Week 17 sleepers for the short and long weeks up next on Fantasy Baseball Today Express. Welcome into FBT Express on Thursday, July 16th. I am Frank Stanfield, joined by Scott White, and the second half starts later tonight. And we have sleepers for the short week if you're just setting your lineup for this weekend, Thursday through Sunday, and for the much longer week if you play in a head-to-head league where it's this Thursday all the way until the following Sunday. But let's start with the short week, Scott. July 16th through 19th, who are the sleeper pitchers you're looking at for this weekend?
Well, obviously, bunch of one-start guys. Nobody's making two starts over a three-day scoring period. And in fact, not every pitcher is making one start even. So you're going to want to double-check this before you set your lineups. Not every team has, as of this recording, even announced how they're lining up. So a lot of guesswork went into play here for very critical decision. This is why, part of the reason why a lot of people like extending it to a long week, combining that first weekend with the first full week. But if you're not one of those that do, you're going with the short week. Right now, I show Ian Seymour and Griffin Jacks facing off against the Red Sox lineup, which still ranks as second to worst in baseball, even with the 9-game winning streak heading into the break. Seymour and Jacks have been fixtures among sleeper pitchers lately. Seymour did have a bumpy start last time out, but he was so dominant in the previous three that I think we give him a pass for that, particularly with a matchup this good. And Griffin Jacks has just been very steady since joining the rotation. Last seven starts, 2.25 ERA, an even one whip, and an even strikeout per inning. And the underlying data suggests there's some swing and miss there that's unaccounted for still. So I love those two with that matchup. We have Jared Jones, who had six perfect innings in his final start before the break, striking out eight. Seems like things were clicking for him finally, and he's going against the Guardians, the team tied with the Red Sox for the second worst offense in baseball. And I would guess they've even been worse than that during this stretch they've been playing without Jose Ramirez, who remains out. So Jared Jones is a fine play. Landon Roop, I think he's a fine play most any week. But he's facing a bottom five offense in the Mariners this week. Still has a 3.36 expected ERA and a 3.29 FIP. And is coming off an eight-inning outing against the Blue Jays, coming off a strong effort. So not a bad time to play Landon Roop. And then kind of stretching here for the fifth one, Cade Cavalli. He is at the Athletics, so obviously a dangerous place to pitch in Sacramento. But the Athletics lineup is injury depleted right now with Nick Kurtz joining some other notables on the IL. And Cavalli has been a surprising source of strikeouts at times this year. That 13 strikeout effort a couple turns ago where the fastball really played up. I don't think we're going to see that again. The fastball's played more normally recently, but you know, even with an average fastball, Cavalli's been solid enough that I think he'll do fine with this matchup.
Let's slide over to the hitters and the best hitter matchups again for the short week, just this Thursday through Sunday, mostly just Friday through Sunday this weekend. The Reds and the Rockies are up at the top. They're both in Coors Field. We've got the Red Sox, the Rays, and the Royals. Lots of R's. And the worst hitter matchups this weekend, we have the Giants, Brewers, Angels, Guardians, and Pirates. Scott, who are your sleeper hitters for the short week, and how many of them are non-Red Sox and Rockies?
Only one of them is not a Red Sox or a Rocky. They have a lot of available players, and they're the team playing a series at Coors Field, so it makes perfect sense.
Yep.
So TJ Rumfield, Cole Carrig, and Kyle Karros. Well, a lot of K sounds there after all the R sounds for the best hitter matchups. So I'll say it again. TJ Rumfield, Cole Carrig, and Kyle Karros. Rumfield is close to not even qualifying for this list anymore. He has been red hot wherever he's played, frankly. Last 31 games before the break, 357 batting average, 5 home runs, 1044 OPS. Obviously, with matchups this good and a venue this favorable, you got to start Rumfield. Cole Carrig is one of the Rockies hitters with the starkest splits home and away, 348 batting average, 1052 at home. And then Kyle Karros, he was awfully hot before the break himself, slashing 341, 426, 670 with 6 home runs in 28 games prior to the break. It's time to show him some love, particularly with matchups as good. The Reds on the list here, J.J. Bleday, who is heating up again before the break, playing at Coors Field, should keep him hot. And Spencer Steer, who was also showing renewed signs of life just before the break. And also in his career at Coors Field as a 400 hitter, as you might expect. So those are your Reds and Rockies for the short week 17. And then stapled on here, Caleb Durbin. Because of a doubleheader, the Red Sox and the Rays both play 4 games. They're the only teams playing 4 games. So Caleb Durbin almost never sits. So we have some hope he's going to play both of those games of the doubleheader. And final 23 games before the break, .325 batting average, 6 home runs, 5 steals.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back, FBT Express. We are here previewing week 17. Now let's talk about the long week. So this is, if you play in a head-to-head league where you have the 10-day scoring period from July 16th through July 26th. There will be a decent amount of overlap here with some of the players we already spoke about. But Scott, who are the sleeper pitchers you like for the long scoring period?
So again, it's led by Ian Seymour and Griffin Jacks. That first turn is against the Red Sox, of course. The second for Seymour, as things line up right now, is the Guardians. So he's facing the two teams tied for the second worst offense. And you know, we talked about how good he was looking, apart from that one clunker right before the break, Ian Seymour. And then Griffin Jacks, his second matchup is the Blue Jays, which is also a very favorable one. Landon Roop also carries over to the long week here. In addition to that first matchup against the Mariners, he gets the Royals second time out. And the Royals are funny. They've moved way up the rankings for runs scored, but that's because they had a 31-run outburst over a 2-day span. In the final 5 games before the break, immediately after those 31 runs over 2 games, final 5 games, 2.2 runs is what they average. So I still think they're a pretty favorable matchup. Roop should do well either way. Dustin May hasn't gone the minimum 5 innings needed for a win since his complete game shutout against the Padres on June 15th. A lot of short outings, a couple of them shaky. But the 2 most recent outings, even though they were short, were good. He looked like he was back on track. He gets the Angels and the Reds, which are 2 of the 3 most strikeout-prone teams. And then Reynaldo Lopez rounds out the list here, going against the Padres, a really good matchup, and then the Orioles, which is kind of middle-of-the-road matchup. But 4 starts since rejoining the rotation. He's been throwing harder. He's been throwing at about the velocity he did in 2024 when he had a 1.99 ERA. I obviously don't think Reynaldo Lopez is going to be that good, but I think the matchups are favorable enough that you might roll the dice on him this week.
All right, let's slide over to the hitters once again and the best hitter matchups for the long Week 17 scoring period. We have the Rockies, Nationals, D-backs, Padres, and Cardinals. The worst hitter matchups, Mets, Yankees, Rangers, Guardians, and Mariners. Again, you'll hear some of the same names, but Scott, who are your favorite sleeper hitters for the long Week 17?
So for the short week, it was the Rockies and the Reds. For the long week, it's the Rockies and the Nationals, who are one of the teams visiting the Rockies. In the longer week, the Rockies themselves, 6 of their 9 games are at home. So that's a big reason why they're so favorable. And I think the road matchup is it's the Brewers, but you know, it's couple of their lower-end pitchers. Anyway, good way for the Rockies with all the home games. Cole Kerrig, TJ Rumfield, Kyle Karros, the same 3 back on this list for the long week as well. And then for the Nationals, we have Curtis Mead, who is heating up again before the break, .400 batting average, 3 homers in his past 9 games, and Dylan Cruz, who should especially benefit not just from the series at Coors Field, but the fact there are 4 lefties on the schedule for the Nationals 9 games. He's a .333 hitter with a .927 OPS against lefties this year. That's Dylan Cruz. And if you've been listening to this whole thing and saying, Scott, I play in a deeper league than this, all of these hitters you've talked about are rostered in mine already. I got one for you that I can almost guarantee isn't, and it's Ty France. Only 4% rostered in CBS sports leagues. You mentioned for the long week, the Padres have the fourth best hitter matchups. France has forced his way into the lineup on a near everyday basis by hitting .317 with 5 home runs and a 1,006 OPS in his final 9 games. Should be able to take advantage of those favorable matchups, presuming he keeps playing like he has recently.
All right. For more extensive fantasy baseball coverage, listen to our full-length podcast, Fantasy Baseball Today, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. Thanks for listening to Fantasy Baseball Today Express, and we'll be back again later this week. Bye-bye.
Paramount Podcasts.